Well, we have us on the line right now from Colorado, Steve Russo. Steve, are you living in Colorado today?
No, actually, Dr. Stan, I live in Southern California, I'm just down the freeway from you.
Oh, well, fine. I thought you were working with Focus on the Family.
Well, you know what? I have done a lot of work with them in the past, and we just finished our run with our radio show called Life on the Edge Live. But I still continue to do a lot of writing and things like that for them.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, Steve has been affiliated with Focus on the Family for some time. Actually, he was a co-host of Focus on the Family Weekend Teen Talk Show, and that was called Life on the Edge. And he's a professional drummer, but he has a chance to talk to a lot of people. And of course, he's found that so many of them are fascinated by Wicca. And we've done some other programs on Wicca, but Steve has quite a different approach to it. And I thought, really, I wanted him to share his information with our listeners. What attracts young people to Wicca? And is this really a growing movement among our youth?
Dr. Stan, it is a huge movement. I don't have any hard, fast statistics that I can give you, but I can tell you, based on what I've heard from a multiplicity of people in a lot of different situations, Wicca is the fastest-growing religion among high school and college students in North America.
Now, why do these young people turn to Wicca? I mean, after all, we've got a great religion in Christianity. And, of course, this has been traditionally a Christian nation. So why are our people, our young people, abandoning the message of the church and embracing a pagan religion?
Let me illustrate it this way, Dr. Stan. I spend a number of weeks each year speaking on public school campuses. Now, the ironic thing is, when I speak on a public high school or middle school or junior high campus in North America, I'm not supposed to mention God, Jesus, or the Bible. And yet I go overseas, and I've got government leaders begging me to invite kids in the public school to receive Christ. So it's quite a different situation.
And isn't it amazing that this nation, which was once a Christian nation, is now a pagan nation, and it's illegal, at least in our schools, to mention God. Of course, they can have prayer in our Senate and prayer in our Congress, and the Supreme Court can open their sessions when the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court, but we can't let this be mentioned in our schools today. It's almost as if there's a conspiracy against Christianity in our schools.
It's amazing, because if I was going on the campus talking about an alternative lifestyle or any other, you know, number of things, I'd have the freedom to say whatever I want to. So if nothing else, that ought to be a wake-up call to those of us that are followers of Christ to say, there must be something to this, or people wouldn't be all upset about it.
Well, of course, there really is an organized effort to destroy Christianity in our country, and I fear that it comes from some of the highest places in our government today, and, of course, from the media. And all this discussion about the Supreme Court and abortion it has nothing to do with abortion. It has to do, really, with this, what I believe is a conspiracy against God, and favoring the alternative religions, which are rapidly replacing true Christianity right here in the United States. A lot of people are drawn into Wicca because here is power, and it's not imaginary power, it's real power, and of course that they can actually use their spells and their rites and their rituals to impact on their reality. And although they're not supposed to hurt other people, they can certainly violate just a little here or there and elsewhere and put bad spells on the people they want. And then, of course, they can worship whatever they want to. There is no specific format, although they are taught spells and rites and rituals, aren't they? Don't they certainly get books and all sorts of things that explains to them how to create their spells and their rites and rituals?
Oh, they truly do. I mean, Dr. Stan, for teenagers, I mean, there's all kinds of books, you know, the teen spell book. They even have like a teen calendar, you know, that has spells and it has different definitions. And there is just a plethora of books out there today. In fact, I acquired quite a large Wiccan library because I felt if I was going to write on this topic, I needed to do two things. One is I needed to talk with kids and adults that were involved in it. Two is I needed to look at their material, their literature, so that I could quote them directly, because if I'm going to reason with these people and try to help them see the fallacy of what they believe, how illogical it is, and the truth of God's word, I needed to be well informed.
But of course, then how do you counter this this idea there that there's real power in here, and they have an opportunity to access that power. And they don't feel that as Christians, they have the opportunity to access any power. And it's nowhere near as exciting as Wiki is because, you know, you go to church and you sit there. But here in the Wiki, you can actually experience these exciting things actually taking place. And you can contact the other dimension.
Yeah, we have to, obviously, I mean, we know as Christians, we should know, I hope, that the resurrection power of Jesus Christ is far greater than anything Satan or the powers or principalities of darkness could ever have. The problem is we have got to start living our faith out in a real way. Now, I know there's many people listening right now that do have a deep, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus, and they have this sense of power that is theirs through Christ, but we've got to start introducing kids, especially kids today, this generation, to the real Jesus of the Scriptures, not some cultural icon, not some religious prophet, but the Son of God, God in the flesh, so that kids can sense that there is, what they're searching for is not what, but whom, and it's in the person of Christ.
Amen to that, certainly. And the great tragedy is, when they go to our schools today, the purpose of education has nothing to do with reading, writing, or arithmetic. It has to do with destroying the faith of the child. That is why they will not allow any mention of creation in the schools. And anybody who wants to say, well, in all fairness, they want to teach the theory of evolution, that's fine, but let's teach at least the theory of creation. No, no, we can't do that. Why? Because they've got to convince that child that there is no God. And then, of course, their minds are open to the alternative religions. And I believe that there is a conscious effort in our schools to destroy the faith of our children. What do you think on that, Steve?
I would agree with you, Dr. Stan. You know, I've been in a variety of situations where, in fact, I was invited to a kind of a town hall meeting in Pound Ridge, New York, several years ago to address something very similar to this. I was floored that Dr. Stan, the school district back there, was taking young children, elementary age children, into cemeteries and giving them little vials of animals' body parts and basically involving them in occultic practices. I was just, you know, I stood up when I opened my part of the evening and just read the definition of what education is. And I said, folks, what does this have to do with education? I said, this is ridiculous. I said, what we're doing is mind-dumbing these kids and introducing them to the occult. So I think there is... It's interesting, again, that we as Christians, I don't think, are picking up on the fact that there is a conscious effort to undermine the credibility of God's Word and to remove God from every facet of not only our education, but our public life.
And I think one of the big problems we have is that most Christians cannot defend their faith in a debate. They may feel, they may have this a feeling that they have a personal relationship with God, but how can you express this to other people in a convincing manner so that they understand that it is not simply a matter of, well, I believe and therefore it is, but there is a reason for that, and that reason for the belief is based upon not only faith but upon reason as well, and history, and the fulfillment of prophecy, and the power that we see in the transformation of lives, and the power we certainly ourselves can have once we are children of God.
Absolutely. You know, Dr. Stan, we have got to get back. I like what Luis Palau says. If we don't get back to the Bible, we're going back to the jungle. And, you know, we have removed God's Word. I can't tell you the number of churches I've visited here in Southern California where you don't see even the pastor. Not only does he not carry a Bible, he doesn't even read from the Bible. And, you know, when you take that away from us, I mean, that should be foundational to our faith. That's the handbook for living. But we have got to get back to that. And, you know, going back to the story of, as I told of those kids in the school campus, I don't think they're that far off, Dr. Stan. How many adults, like you said, let alone teenagers, can articulate what they believe and why they believe it?
Well, of course, you're in your book, you get into the things like the history of Wicca. Do you want to get a little into the background of this religion, which is truly sweeping across America and capturing the minds and the imaginations from many very young people, and so many of our television programs, whether, you know, going into the Dead Zone or going into, you know, into the medium and, you know, the Teenage Witch and Samantha and all of these All of these things are to certainly open in the minds of our children the question of the supernatural. And, of course, quite intriguing. I think the medium is a wonderful, exciting story. But the trouble is that this woman is accessing the dark dimension, and it's based upon a true story. There really was somebody who actually did help the district attorney.
Yes.
But, of course, you do not want to get involved in this, because you may think you're doing good by identifying the bad guys, but you're opening yourself up to demonic possession. And how could people can't believe that this wonderful, sweet housewife with three lovely children could be accessing the demonic dimension?
Yeah, it's tragic. And once again, it comes back to, and I ask kids all the time. In fact, I was speaking at a school up in San Jose yesterday, and I said to the student body, 1,200 students at a Christian school, I said, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God? Because if you do, then even though you look at this nice housewife on TV, you know, who is a medium, and you say, well, she can't be all that bad, but God's Word says not to practice that. God's Word says to stay away from sorcery and divination and mediums and the whole. But that's the problem, I think, is we're not taking God's Word seriously anymore.
What sort of response did you get from the students there?
It was very interesting, because the head chaplain or whoever was in charge of, you know, bringing me up there said, Steve, those kids were spellbound. He said, they were hanging on every word you were saying. He said, I've rarely seen that. Well, Dr. Stan, we know it's not Steve Russo, the communicator. We know that's the Spirit of God, simply taking the Word of God and penetrating the hearts of these kids. I mean, I even gave an invitation and saw people respond to receive Christ at a Christian school.
Well, I think that we ought to see a lot more of those invitations, because that, of course, can have eternal significance. Maybe they're not all going to stay Christians, but at least you've opened their mind to that, and who knows what that influence is going to have later in their lives.
Absolutely.
Well, let's get back to the history of Wicca, because you've got a whole section in your book on where Wicca came from.
Yeah, it's a fascinating religion, because it's an old religion and it's a new religion. We can trace its ancient roots, Dr. Stan, all the way back to paganism, to the time of the Druids, to earth, you know, worshiping the earth. But then if we come full circle and we come to, I'll call it modern Wicca. I think modern Wicca has its roots in the 1950s. There was a man from England named Gerald Gardner. And Mr. Gardner was upset with the Church of England. He didn't like some of the things that were going on. Ended up having a business trip of sorts to Southeast Asia. Got involved in some occultic practices. Came back home. Took some of the occultic practices that he learned. He took some of, you know, some Christianity. He took a little of this, a little of that. It was as if he was going down a buffet line, you know, in a restaurant. Except this time he was picking and choosing parts of religions and different worship practices. He put them all together, and he ended up writing two books that really are foundational for modern Wicca. One is called High Magic's Aid, and the other one was called Witchcraft Today. So, once again, it's a confusing religion, but I think people have to realize how individual this religion really is, and how self-styled it is as people practice it.
And, of course, you have a list here of the various things that the Wiccans believe in. And certainly one of them, of course, would be worship of the god or goddess.
Yes.
And then, of course, reverence for the earth.
Yes.
Acceptance of magic. Acceptance of reincarnation and lack of proselytizing. In other words, you're not trying to get out to convince other people to go into this. But this idea of reincarnation, well, that, of course, goes right back to the Garden of Eden.
It really does. And you know what's so fascinating about that, Dr. Stan, is Wicca is supposed to be this self-styled religion. You control your own destiny. It's all about you. It's all about your power. It's you making your own gods. That's the other thing we didn't talk about. Not only can you choose to worship who you want to, but you make your own gods. And in essence, you're worshiping yourself. But what's so fascinating is they believe in reincarnation. So when you die, you go to a place they call Summerland. And then you take some time out, figure out where you want to go and what you want to be and what you want to do in the next lifetime. So you come back as a different person, different sex, in a different part of the world, but you have to work through the problems and the issues of the person that you used to be.
And that sounds like the karma of the Hindu, and that sounds
Absolutely.
Like the promise of the serpent in the Garden of Eden, thou shalt never die.
Absolutely. And then the fascinating thing is, you keep doing this life after life after life. You finally get off this downward spiral. You reach what they call perfection, which they never define. And when you reach perfection, you merge with this nebulous all in the cosmos, and you cease to exist. So the ultimate dichotomy is you go from controlling everything to not even existing.
And I think this is the incredible thing, because this idea of going through generation after generation working towards perfection is a common to all of the occult religions,
yes.
Whether it be writings of Alice Bailey or Madame Helena Petrovna Blavatsky or Steve Rosu. We're talking about his book, What's the Deal with Wiccan? And Steve has an opportunity to talk to young people all throughout our country. And, of course, one of the things that's really disturbed him, and the reason I think he wrote his book, is because so many of our young people are looking for something outside of Christianity. They're looking for meaning in life. They're looking for excitement. They're looking for power. And Wicca offers all of those. And there's nobody there counseling them and telling them what's wrong with what they're doing. And since they're not allowed to hear about God in school, and they go to church and they don't really find what they're looking for, then they begin looking for alternative sources of excitement, of power, and of true meaning. And this is the great tragedy, is that if we don't reach these people, we're going to lose a significant part of a whole generation of our young people. And certainly television is doing everything they can to introduce people to this other dimension. So pick up the story there.
They really are. In fact, it's rather interesting because the head of MTV has made the statement over and over again that he feels their responsibility is to shape the moral and political values of this generation. Well, you know what's on MTV, and you just look across the screen, and you mentioned this earlier, Dr. Stan. What's on primetime TV now is just amazing to me. There's a brand new show on the WB network called Supernatural. It's a huge hit. I watched the first 15 minutes of the first episode, and that's all I could take. I have never seen so much occultic violence on primetime television before. I was absolutely shocked that this thing would get on TV. But our kids, whether it's a video game, whether it's a comic book, whether it's some other book they're reading, whether it's television, movies, I mean, the occult, Wicca, witchcraft is every place. It's huge today. Even fashions. There are clothing fashions that are, you know, kind of pumping this mentality and this religion. So it's all around this generation, and that's why it's so critical that we as adults, concerned adults, understand how bad the problem is. In fact, I will go so far as to say I believe Wicca is the sleeping giant in our churches today, because we've got Christian kids, or church kids is probably a more accurate term. We've got church kids who are dabbling in witchcraft and Wicca because they're not finding answers in the church.
So what can we do about it, Steve? Because we know there's a problem. You and I know there's a problem. Most people don't know there's a problem because they don't want to think about it, because they're so busy with all of the things going on in the world. And then we have so many crises. We seem to go from crisis to crisis, whether it be the war in Iraq or Hurricane Katrina or the energy crisis or now the threat of bird flu, and who knows what the crisis will be next week. So how do we get people to focus on the very real problem, the spiritual problem that undergirds all of the things we've talked about?
We've got to help people understand that there's this almost silent crisis among our young people, you know, spiritually. And one of the things, now I have a companion book that I wrote to What's the Deal with Wicca called Protecting Your Teen from Today's Witchcraft, and that's a book for parents. And Dr. Stan, one of the things I hit very strong and very heavy in the book is parental hypocrisy. Parents have got one of the simplest things we can do to start with, to start turning the tide, to start turning things around, is examining our own hearts as parents and concerned adults for hypocrisy, because kids see through us, you know. And unfortunately, it's, you know, parents will get upset with their kids for the music they listen to or where they go on the internet or their clothing or their hairstyle or whatever, any number of different things, and they'll turn right around people who call themselves Christians and tune into Desperate Housewives on Sunday night.
Well, I fortunately, I haven't got to that point of turning into Desperate Housewives. You'd have to be pretty desperate to want to do that.
Well, it seems like it to me. But, you know, here in Southern California, we've got Sunday school classes, and church groups that are getting together on Sunday nights to watch this TV program, and I'm appalled at it. I can't understand how churches can sanction it, let alone people who call themselves Christians watching this kind of stuff, and then they turn around and rip our kids up. I know I have done with my own teenagers. I've sat down and said to my son and daughter, do you think I'm a hypocrite in any dimension of my life? And I'll tell you, it's a scary thing to do, but it's an important thing to do. And fortunately, both my son and daughter said, Dad, no, we don't know of any. And I said, well, you have my permission. When you see me being a hypocrite, I want you to tell me, because I want my life to be free from hypocrisy.
Well, I think the parent has to be the image for the child.
Example,
and really, of course, because they look upon their parent as really a manifestation of God. And, of course, when we're not there, they're going to have to look to our Father in heaven. But if they don't see fidelity within us, they're going to begin to question the fidelity of our Lord. Calling from Summit, New York, Julie. Hi, Julie. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, Dr. Stan.
And whereabouts are you hearing us? Are you hearing us on the Internet? Are you hearing us on shortwave right there in Attica?
On the radio.
Okay, is that Attica station or Utica station?
WJIZ.
Okay, fine. Go ahead.
I have a question. I used to go to this church, and the kids there were dressed like all in black. Not all of them, but some of them. And I found that very uncomfortable. And I talked to the youth pastor about it, and he said that would be it's a good idea to leave them alone because they could bring others in. I mean, I don't know if these kids are into Wicca, or what do you look for, like, in dress and stuff?
All right. How would you respond to that, Steve?
Great comment and question, Julie. First of all, my guess is that these kids are dressing all in black and probably dark eye makeup and dark dyed their hair dark and so on, they would be what we would consider goths. That's G-O-T-H, mm-hmm. which is kind of the gothic style of thinking and dressing and attitude. Are they into Wicca? Not necessarily. Some that dress and act like that are. Some are not. Some are just simply using it as a fashion statement, but they're also making another statement that they're still struggling with their identity. What else do we look for besides something like that? We would look for a young person that's obsessed with death and suicide. You could see that in music they're listening to, language they use, things they doodle on their books and so on. Fascination with Wiccan symbols, possession of Wiccan materials, including a Book of Shadows, which in its essence is basically a Wiccan diary or journal. Another sign that a young person has problems, not necessarily Wicca, but they certainly could be, is when they withdraw from routine activities. So there's quite a few signs we could look for. I'm a little surprised at the youth pastor saying leave them alone because they could draw others in. Well, you know, if you win them with a goth mentality, how are you going to keep them with a goth mentality? Because that goes contrary to what Scripture teaches.
Yeah, and that's what I had told him. And also the pastor seems to just want to keep people. You know, it's like it's all about getting people there, and now they're doing a lot of skits, and they're doing a lot of other stuff and not just preaching anymore, and the music is getting very rock and roll. And
well, of course, is this a church growth church? Is this, in other words, when they've gone into this whole idea of the minister doesn't wear a suit and tie, and the music becomes rock and roll, and then they have you sign this pledge to do what the church wants to and break up into these little study groups where you can develop relationships with other people? Is that how the church is going?
Yeah, they were talking about breaking up in little groups and meeting in homes. I don't know, but
that's the church growth movement. If you haven't read our material on the church growth movement and Rick Warren and this whole movement, and of course Rick Warren's association with the Aspen Human Institute and the Council on Foreign Relations, the United Nations, why you just keep listening to our program. We'll cover it again. But I would be very, very concerned that they're not relying upon the God of the Bible to build the church. They're relying upon management skills and Peter Drucker's corporate management programs that have been brought into the Christian church and are undermining the very structure of Christendom today.
Well, I had left that church, so they keep sending me letters, but
Well, you're lucky you didn't get thrown out for complaining.
I know. It's,
you know,
like
it's too bad, Julie, because if people would only realize, if you teach the Bible in such a way that you are showing people who the true, authentic Jesus Christ is, you wouldn't have enough room in your church to hold everybody. Because that's what people are searching for desperately.
They're not really, I mean, they're going to be entertained with the skits. They're going to be entertained with all of the programs. But what we really need is the Word of God. That is, faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God.
Yes, definitely, yes.
Okay, Julie, well, thank you so much, Julie, for calling.
Okay.
Anything else you wanted to say?
How would you find a good church? I mean, it seems this is the second one I've been in, and it's like, it's just really hard, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what, Julie, you're just going to have to go from church. You have to do a little church shopping and just go there and get the doctrinal position, and then keep listening to our programs and at least learn what the danger signs in the church is, okay?
Yes, definitely. Thank you
good
so
night.
Much.
God
bless you.
Bye-bye. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That was Julie calling from, she had listened to a station up there in Attica, New York. A great big 50,000-watt station carries our program this time of night. And, of course, it's after midnight back there, so we appreciate Julie and all the other listeners. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we'd love to hear from you if you have a question, a comment, if you agree or disagree. Why, that's what talk radio is really all about. And certainly, you know, as you go through your book, you talk about the relationship to the goddess. Who is the goddess? And why is the goddess, why would they have a female god?
Well, it goes back, I think, you know, we can trace this obviously to the perversion that started in the Garden of Eden. But Wiccans believe, Dr. Stan, that there's this nebulous all in the sky, cosmos somewhere, that's a female spirit that gave birth to the goddess. And then the goddess gave birth to the god. And interestingly enough, they believe that right around Halloween time every year, that the god, the male god, dies only to be reborn by the goddess in late December, right around December 20th, 21st. It's a very interesting mixture that they've put together, but it goes way back to ancient paganism, and that is goddess worship and worshiping Mother Earth.
Well, now, what is the Wiccan reed, R-E-D-E? I was fascinated by that.
It's an interesting thing. It's a long poem, but in essence, it's summarized by the very last line. And the last line goes like this, Angie, harm none, do what ye will. And the translation really is, basically, you can do anything in the world that you want to as long as you don't perceive it to cause harm to yourself or anyone else. But there's the danger, Dr. Stan, living in a relative truth culture, a postmodern culture, when you say, well, I don't perceive it to cause harm to me or somebody else, it's all based on your definition of harm. And you asked earlier in the show about books and so on. If you look in some of the teen spell books, for example, if you have a teacher that's giving you grief at school, there's a spell to take care of that teacher. If your parents are bothering you, there's a spell to take care of your parents. Well, you and I would say, wait a minute, that's harmful. But a Wiccan would say, well, that's not my definition of harm.
And, of course, really, they determine what is harm and what is not.
Absolutely.
And, of course, true in love ye must be, just thy love be false to thee. These words the Wiccan read fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will. Well, of course, do what ye will, of course, is the slogan of a man called Aleister Crowley. Of course, they say, do no harm, but of course, they determine what is harm.
That's right.
And they, if you believe in reincarnation, you believe in karma, and all of these other beliefs, you can do really whatever you want to, and do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law, was the slogan of a great Satanist from another era. He would know Aleister Crowley. Living on Loch Ness, for the home there, was known by his neighbors affectionately as the other Loch Ness Monster. He was so evil. Well, let's go to Jim, who's calling in from Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Jim. How are you doing?
Good evening.
Hey, go ahead.
I was listening.
Okay, speak a little louder, please.
Yes, sir. I was listening to an old tape of Dr. Cuddy from a local radio show here in this city from about 1996 or 97. And it just struck me when you, I think it was your guest who said something about how many people just run from place to place and soccer moms running here and running there. Dr. Cuddy talked about this from the book 1984, where O'Brien is talking to Winston, telling him all the crazy things they're going to have people believe. And Winston says, how in the world are you ever going to do that? And O'Brien says, we're going to accelerate the pace of life so that people will not have a chance to stop and think about anything.
That's exactly what's going on today. And we go from crisis to crisis to crisis.
Or trial to missing girl to trial to missing girl. And
right.
So, you know, and I read in a book a couple of years ago where this man had hit a spiritual dry patch, which is a bad thing for a teaching pastor. But he called his mentor and asked him how could he continue to progress in his spiritual life. And it's just such the opposite of what I just told you. The man told him, you must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life.
Okay, I think it's
powerful. That's powerful.
Thanks so very much, Jim. Anything else you want to say?
No, sir.
How
are
you listening
to
the shortwave internet?
Internet.
Okay, God bless.
Yes, sir.
Thanks. And certainly somebody just called in and said, is it really easy for these young people to tap into these spiritual powers? And how do they go about doing that? How do they actually contact the other dimension?
Through their spells, through their incantations. You know, they believe that using a combination of herbs and spices and crystals and any host of numbers of things. And you know, Dr. Stan, if we're going to go searching for the dark side, Satan's going to make sure he connects with us in one form, fashion, or another.
And certainly the thing is that you can do this with a Ouija board. There are things that they pay Bloody Mary. They look into the mirror and they keep saying Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, and soon the image begins to appear in the mirror. Or three or four of them get around this very heavy table and with one finger they'll levitate that table. And once you begin to contact these demonic spirits, are all around us. I think this is the thing that people must understand, that there are beings from another dimension. I've told the story many times about this witch who wrote me an email. I still have it. And she was furious with me because I'd said on a nationwide television program. And she said, well, we're good people, you know. We just want to, you know, use our spells and rites and rituals to contact beings from the other dimension. And she was able to contact these. And we can contact them too, but we don't want to contact them because once we call them out, why, they may very well be with us the rest of our lives. We have to abhor this, and the Bible tells us to stay away from witches and from sorcerers and mediums and fortune tellers and diviners and, you know, to avoid these at all circumstances.
Absolutely.
And these young people just don't understand that this is not something you play with.
Once again, Dr. Stan, it's coming back, and I sound like a CD stuck in the same track, but it's coming back to taking the Word of God seriously.
And
you know, the Word says it very clearly that we've got to stay away from this stuff.
And I think that we have to stress to the young people that the Word of God is just that. It's not simply, you know, it's not the Ten Suggestions, it's the Ten Commandments, and it is not simply a story. Because if you read the Word of God, you'll find that the prophecies of the Old Testament, so many of them have been fulfilled and are actually being fulfilled today. I mean, the things that are happening are just beyond any comprehension at all. And that, you know, there's just no way that this could have been simply written by, you know, 44 people just simply by accident. It is too perfect, and certainly its analysis of humanity and of human imperfection is so accurate. And the warnings that are there for a very specific purpose.
They truly are. And once again, if we come back to the fact that God has demonstrated his love to us and for us through his son Christ, if we could just grasp that, as you said, it's not suggestions. Ephesians 6 talks very strongly about the fact that we're all involved in a spiritual battle against principalities, powers of darkness that we can't see, but that doesn't mean they aren't there, and they're all around us. And God is so awesome, Dr. Stan. You know this. He's given us the spiritual armor, the spiritual gear that we need to move ahead.
And I think once the young people realize that there is power not only from the dark side, but from the Christian side, and they need to tap into God's power, not
That's
the
right.
other power. And God can give them a full life and a happy life and a fulfilling life, and certainly can see them through all their trials. And it doesn't mean there's not going to be trials. But if you have that sustaining, power of God, you'll get through the trials. Because, of course, if you don't, why you be in that situation of hopelessness like so many people today?
Very much so. And I often wonder, Dr. Stan, how people make it without Christ. Because we all know, if you're truly a follower of Christ, there's going to be those dark times, those difficult times in your life. And, sometimes you just want to throw up your hands and say, God, where are you? But imagine facing these crises, these trials, without God. What a horrible travesty.
And, Chris, you've got a section in here, practical tips, on how you can rescue someone from Wicca. Do you want to just cover a few of those points that you made there?
Absolutely. First of all, I've said this earlier, but it's true. You've got to be praying for this person. You've got to pray that God will close their mind to the lies of the enemy, because Wicca is just one more repackaging of the original lie from the Garden of Eden. Another thing that's critical to do is to build enough of a rapport, enough of a relationship, some kind of communication with this person to find out how deeply they're really involved. Because they may just be dabbling, they may be deeply involved, but what you want to find out is what need in their life do they see being met in Wicca or by Wicca. Because once you find that out, you can deal with that in a more effective way with biblical truth. But until you find out that need, you're kind of shooting in the dark, so to speak, until you find out what it is they're feeling and thinking and where they're going.
And certainly, you talk about certainly try to find out what their unmet needs are. And, because a lot of these people are drawn into this because they do have needs that
That's right.
they don't know how to fulfill them. And you have to understand really how they feel. They're not wicked people. They may have accepted a wicked philosophy, but you're not going to win them back by attacking them, but trying to point out where this is going to lead. And haven't you actually met some of the young people who've gotten into this, who've actually begun to encounter these powers, and suddenly they realize that they're not nice, friendly powers, but these are frightening powers that really threaten their very being?
I have. I've talked to countless ones, Dr. Stan, who, in a sense, it's like a wake-up call that, they finally realize what they've actually gotten involved in, and they realize it's not pretty, it's not fun, it's a dangerous thing to be involved in, because we're talking about, again, demonic, satanic activity. Now, Wiccans would tell you they don't worship Satan, and yet if you read their writings, you are encouraged, if you are going to practice Wicca, to emulate the character of Satan. So we know biblically there's two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of right and the kingdom of wrong, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of hell.